It's time for Stars on Sport,
a podcast radio show dedicated to sharing stories about our athletic program at LCC, past and present.
Lansing Community College Athletics has a strong tradition.
25 national championships.
Over 190 All-Americans.
19 MCCAA All-Sports trophies.
Stars on Sports will introduce you to individuals that have contributed to our program's success and give you the backstory on what it takes to develop it.
We'll also dive into and break down the topics and issues facing athletic departments across the nation and right here at LCC.
This is Stars on Sports. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Stars on Sports. I'm joined today by our Assistant Athletic Director, Stephen Cutter, and our producer, Dedalion Lowry. And gentlemen, over the last couple of podcasts, we've, you know, might as well get the ERO right out of the way of talking about that, but we've talked about failure a lot in the last podcast and how prevalent it is in life and sports. And I'm reading a great book right now by about Bill Walsh, who the coach of the San Francisco 49ers and kind of developed the dynasty. And I'm only right in the beginning. I mean, really the first chapter, and I already took so much from it. But I love the title, and I thought you would love the title too. It's called The Score Takes Care of Itself. But it also like just like picks up where we've left off on failure in the past too. And one of the key sentences in the chapter was 1 minute at a time. And I know you've done a lot of stuff on staying focused, staying in the present. But this particular instance was about, you know, early in his career with the 49ers, he came from the college setting. He was trying to prove himself, and things weren't going well. I mean, 16 months in, and they were struggling and just had a bad loss, and he was doubting himself and wondering, you know, am I cut for this level? I want to prove that I am. And, you know, was on a way home from a flight after a bad loss, and, you know, this hit him, like, low is low. And, again, we've talked about that before and how to respond and how to, we got our podcast with responding intentionally, but this was more just present. I mean, I got to forget what I had, learn from it, build from it, but I can't let it impact me. I got another game in a week I got to get ready for, and I have to win that game now. So real interesting, and there's a lot of different things to go from, because, you know, we'll get into our other favorite thing on this podcast, Ted Lasso. Again, about regaining composure, and we did talk about that a little bit on previous podcasts about intentional response in the ERO. It was very interesting, just about the regaining composure. And interesting in sports is when you have a big win, how long do you celebrate for? And if you have a big loss or a loss, how long do you dwell on it for? And each coach, I think, has different rules or different guidelines. And the time of the season also, I think, impacts that too. Because, if, you know, just we're taping this after the Super Bowl, that, you know, their win can last a little longer because they're, you know, they're getting ready in the offseason. Although, you know, I've shared before, even with the same 49er team, that, you know, Jerry Rice was in the gym right after the Super Bowl working out and getting better for that next season. So, you know, but getting back up, and some things we didn't dive into on our last podcast, but one of my, favorite things is you get down 7, get up 8 times. And it's hard to beat anybody that doesn't quit. And it's true. If they don't quit, how do you beat them? I mean, again, maybe time will run out. That's your best option. We've seen games where the other team was coming on and they just ran out of time. So, you know, quick thoughts from both of you, and then we'll decide which direction we head in on this.
Well, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the word resiliency. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you get knocked down 7 times, you get back up 8, you're going to need some resiliency. The more failure you have, I believe that once you have failure again, it lasts longer than what winning does. If you're failing a lot, the wins, when you get them, they're not very enjoyable for very long. But when the loss comes back, it's much longer and you hang on to those. And so being present is one of those things that is really easy to say, But in life, it's a lot harder to do. And so you've got to have some processes in place when things are happening and have the ability to stand back from the brick wall that you build or anything else and just and have some moments where you're really thinking about what have I done, you know, and taking some reflection to be thankful for what you have done or what you have, because the losses really stack up for people. And my loss, you might not think it's as big as it should be for me, mm-hmm. but it's one of those things that being present is super challenging, but it's always going to be possible for everybody if you can bring it back to 1 minute wins or anything like it, what you're talking about, of just being in where your feet are, where your body is, and focusing on processes to get back there.
Yeah, it's interesting that you actually mentioned the idea that we hold on to those losses a lot longer than we do the wins. And the wins are actually, of course, what, you know, you go to that next thing. I'm thinking of like all sorts of things as you're talking about this, but you go to that next thing and it actually carries you up and actually makes you perform better usually at whatever you're doing. As you were talking about it, I'm very much thinking about other podcasts that we do here at LCC Connect. And there is a mental health podcast where at one point they're talking about the notion that when they talk to somebody, a therapist, you know, and they're dealing with a difficult discussion, they have to completely clear their mind, get into that present moment and get into the next, you know, their next session and just be for there for that one person.
Which is a process. Yeah. And if you don't understand how to do that, you're really going to struggle to be in that moment because that loss is or win is still going to be with you and distracting you. And that's when we talk about like noise and stuff like that and being able to just turn that noise off for whatever set time that you need to turn it off for, because the volume will still be there when you're ready to get back to it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's huge in today's society. And I know, Coach, you do a lot of that with your team of the mental and cognitive performance regularly to handle that. But to this point, I think we struggle with that because, you know, like this shiny squirrel get the ball kind of a society where, you know, it's hard to stay focused and present in a conversation. And we talked about communication before on this podcast of being able to listen or give that person that is talking undivided attention. And podcast I just listened to talked about we have two eyes, two ears, and one mouth, and there's a reason for that. We should look and hear more than we should talk. But I think that's hard, and I think that's hard in sports because of what's next. And you bring up a good point, too, is the motivating part of it, how you can use it as motivation for that next minute or that next event that you're dealing with. And that's the tough thing in sports, I guess life too, is that there is something next. And, you know, we talked about in a book just read about endings are new beginnings, and that mm-hmm. game's an end, but they're the new beginning coming up. And that was Bill Walsh's fear in this particular chapter was, I got to get ready for the New York Giants. We play them in a week, and it, you know, back to the motivation, you know, I have to win that. And it was one loss. I mean, it was a number of losses that led to it, but why would this one more than the week before or what? Or whether it was a bad loss or I don't even think they were winning in it, that, you know, the team came back. But
most of it comes down to what you label as important as an individual. And so as I was trying to tell you, you know, if something I view as like super important, it's a big loss. You might view it as, I mean, that wasn't that big of a loss. Some are going to say, well, that's just one game. Mm-hmm. That there's a lot more games to go. Mm-hmm. But it's about what you view as important. And that's why it's so impactful at times, because others look at it as not a big deal. And so having the processes for yourself is why that's super important, because you're not always going to get help from somebody else because they don't see it as that important.
Right.
And that's huge, because a couple of things he mentions is don't expect sympathy, don't blame others. And you're right, it was one loss to one team. that they're probably supposed to lose to, but it also was a combination back to the total losses. But with that process, and that's what I talked about, regaining composure, believing, building confidence, having direction, which are all part of the process. But he also, the neat analogy gave, and he was a boxer, which I didn't know this, but I think of the Rocky movies, you know, like round 13, they're just beating each other up, and like Rocky gets knocked down and he's grabbing the ropes to get back up. And, you know, the mentality in fighting is stand up, get back up. We all get knocked down many times, and that's why I use boxing as an analogy, and you talked about that too, losing. But that mentality of stand up, get back up. And again, that's the response that we've talked about. That's the mental process of having that mindset and making failure is part of a success, because even in the Rocky movies, if it's the late round, how close are you to success? Just stand up. Maybe you know, that's just enough to stand up. And it's true. We believe it. We've talked about it before on here. Showing up is half the battle, or we discussed that. But another thing, and I don't want to dive into it today, is an article you gave me the other day about mental toughness is, fake it. You know, fake it till you make it kind of a thing. And it was much deeper than that, but acting like you did it, because we can't bring it every day and you're going to get knocked down and lose, but having that process in place for when you do, because it's the toughest time. It could be the lowest of lows when adversity is at its highest. And, you know, now we'll head into my Ted Lasso. One of my favorite things of Ted Lasso is be a goldfish. And at the end of season one, they get relegated. And the goldfish has the shortest memory in the animal kingdom, I believe. And, forget it.
I think he says like 8 or 10 seconds like that. Just forget it. Which really comes back to staying in the present moment. And that's one thing that I was thinking about as you were saying it. And it's the one thing that all three of us seem to agree on. And that's the notion that the past is the past, future hasn't happened, and present moment is what counts. So I'm kind of curious, do you have a technique that helps you to stay into the present moment?
In our program, we talk a little bit better than goldfish. We say 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. And so no matter what happens, you've got 5 seconds to react. Mm-hmm. And then after the 5 seconds is you need to respond.
Okay.
And so that's, once again, that's a muscle that you can work on, because we're talking about failure. We're talking about overjoy, excitement. You know, it's 5 seconds to react and then respond to what you need to do next.
So you're saying train the brain kind of a thing?
Yeah,
you 100%. Practice it.
I think a lot of the times what I'll do, though, is I was thinking about myself and, you know, the things I do, like golf or bowling. You know, those are my sports. Mm-hmm. Those are my sports. And a lot of the times if I'm finding myself distracted with other things, I'm not saying it always works, but I kind of focus in on my feet, and I'll focus in on the feeling of being grounded. And that kind of helps me to kind of clear my mind and say, this is what counts.
That's a great technique. And
it works. It's something that if you can go barefoot, that's where grounding actually starts. But mm-hmm. it's a feeling. You can have it in the batter's box. You can feel the dirt under your feet, mm-hmm. or under the cleats. It's a big grounding thing. And just the feeling of something helps you become present of where you're at.
Yeah. This is a great technique, and I took it from Brian Kane, and I had my daughter do it in tennis. Was, you know, he had said, when you're playing your best tennis, what are the three things you're doing well? And real simple, like one or two, three words, and I had them right around her shoe. She had white tennis shoes, so every time she, at an end of a point, she could look down on her shoe and bring her back to,
interesting,
these are the three things that I do well. Like, I get to the middle of the court, I throw the ball higher on my serve. And again, it was much shorter than that, because your shoe would be.
She's got big feet.
Hey.
I know I've also heard your players kind of talk about how they do that with their mitts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and it worked, and it's a very neat technique of back to you to try and find a visual thing to bring you back to the present. And again, we're talking sports, but even in life, and we've talked enough about this in there, but breathing is a big thing. Mm-hmm. Music is another thing that can help. humor. They used to talk about presidential candidates are good at, like, wag the dog, where they, like, if we're talking about this topic, they try and bring a different topic in to distract you and get you away from the topic that you want to focus on. And that's what you're doing with your mind, is finding something that can bring you to the present or back to what you need to do well, even in good moments, because you can get overconfident or cocky. So
another solid one is just being thankful, you know, seeking perspective.
Good one. Excellent.
And then being thankful for this moment, whatever you have in this moment. Mm-hmm. And you can take really short walks, you can just stay sitting in a chair, but you just start thinking about, you know, I'm going to come up with two things that I'm thankful for. Maybe things are not great and you have to start with one. But you can come up with things that you're thankful for. And when you start thinking about the things that you're thankful for, it removes the sadness,
right,
the anxiety, all that stuff starts going away, because it's really hard to be thankful and angry at the same time. It's almost impossible to do that.
But the thing that's not impossible, and I, again, learned this at the first pitch dinner a couple of years ago with Zach Sorensen, is how you can change it quickly, how we think we can't. Like, if we're in a slump, or, you know, we had a bad shot that we can't change and get it. And he did a neat little thing, like he had us clapping and getting us, like, all jumping high. And then a second later, he had us breathing and brought us all the way back down to a nice point, that there are methods that can, even though you think it's the most extreme, or you can't get from, you know, red, green, yellow light, you know, from one to the other without skipping a step, there are methods to change it relatively quickly. And we just talked about a couple of them that I think are very beneficial. And gratitude is another great one. I'm glad you brought that up, because we do have a lot of the thankful for, and it just changes your mindset when you think of gratitude. So that's an important thing that all of us should do better. And, you know, there's theories out there, we should have gratitude journals, or wake up and just do our gratitude every day.
The gratitude helps you stack, like, micro or really small victories.
Yeah. But which, by the way, I still haven't gotten to that journal. So it's been sitting on my shelf, and I'm going to get there.
Keep getting there. Not consistent, though. So I have journaled, but not as consistent. So I'm glad you brought that up, actually. Medallion, that's something I got to work on, too.
Sounds like you need an accountability partner.
I probably do.
We all do. We've talked about that before. That is very important, I believe, and that can be a future podcast. But back to the present, it's so important, because – again, another thing we've talked about on the podcast is what you want to happen, what happened, and what the next best decision. And that's the important thing about practice and the intentional practices is trying to handle all those scenarios and preparing for all those scenarios. And we know we can't. I've seen great coaches that scripted the first inning or the first 10 plays of a game, and they go so well, and then you wonder. And we've seen coaches that make halftime adjustments or lineup adjustments, and some have worked and some haven't. And again, because in the end, we're still dealing with people and emotions and competitiveness, and those don't always mix well together. And then you put, you know, the focus on the scoreboard as your main evaluation tool, that, you know, it all plays into how you handle that when you get knocked down or when you're at the lowest of low. And, you know, I already mentioned that it's hard to beat someone that doesn't quit, but another couple quotes I've heard of recently that I hadn't heard before is, the bottom is when you stop digging. And to me, that can go twofold. One, you could keep digging yourself a hole further if you're doing the same thing. But two, if you keep digging and filling that hole, then don't stop. You know, get better and get back up. And the reverse one of that was, the only job you start on top is digging a hole. So there's your little quotes for the day or for the podcast that I try and find and really like. But again, it that process of how you're handling it. And we've seen too many times in sports where you dig yourself a hole and you dig deeper, or we've seen people that have done a great job thinking their season is over and dig themselves out.
Sometimes you're not actually digging yourself a hole. Other things are digging yourself a hole, which could push into, you know, where we're at in the time of year. You know, the weather digs holes for our athletic teams, and you're working through that. And that's not a great hole to be in, but you have to be able to respond to it and start figuring out a process to be, when this moment after everything that's happened. And that really sums up a lot of what you've been talking about.
Yeah, definitely. What a good point into that, especially being a team, which we are all part of, is that you're right. You might find yourself in a hole with another. And a neat thing is, a totally different direction, is the foxhole of who you want in your foxhole with you.
Yes, and
I saw a neat thing I haven't even talked to you about is, and maybe you do this because you do a lot of interesting things with your team, is have like a
is that
group.
A compliment?
It is a compliment. Some of them might not work, but most of them are. And interesting.
It's interesting one way or the other, even if it doesn't work.
You do a lot of neat development, mental things with your team, but you know, have the team identify, each person identify who they want to be in a foxhole with, and then you can really see like what member of your team is like the most reliable, or the person that, you know, got, you know, most vote, that that's your go-to person. So whole story that we get. Yeah,
because that kind of goes into experience too. If you've never been in a foxhole, you might not choose wisely, but if you've been in a foxhole before, you're going to choose a lot differently than somebody that hasn't been.
Definitely.
So experience matters in that game as well.
It does. But to the point, though, is when you're in a tough situation, or you think the lowest of lows, back to the accountability partner, you also need a team there to build you up or help bring you back
to the present.
You don't need
one, but it helps.
It
does
help, for sure.
Because you can do it. It's just, it's harder.
Yeah, no, yep, you're right. And again, doing it would be learning who you are and how to overcome that, or just your experience in dealing with that before. But it's tough. Back to our original premise is, the more you lose, the hole might be bigger, or the tougher you seem to think that it is to get out of it.
And that's why they say winning and losing is contagious.
And it is. But also how important, back to the minute of getting back to the present, is experience, and just making sure it's short and move forward, whether you celebrate or lose for the past weekend. It's that 1 minute at a time, and trying to remember to get that mindset to that point,
which helps with the law of attraction as well. You know, when you're consistently losing, you're just kind of replaying that over and over, which then is an attraction piece. You can reset that law of attraction immediately. Just, you have to have the process in place and the mindset, the self-talk, maybe the support system, but you can reset that instead of replaying the loss over and over and over, which then attracts more losses. And it's not just in the game, but
right. As you can say, a loss could be a bad at bat. It could be, and not always the final score, which we do focus on.
It could be a bad parking job. You know what I mean? There's a lot of ways to look at losses.
I'm getting pretty good at parking.
I give you plus ones when I see it. I'm like, there's a plus one.
I've been practicing on the fourth floor where it's not as busy. And there was a streak, though, like a couple weeks ago, I was bad. I'd get mad at myself. So, man, parking.
Kind of interesting that you talk about that. Is during the bowling league that we've been having, very first half of the season, my team was like way at the bottom of the list, you know, and it was this thing where you could tell it was just in our mindset that we were going to lose over and over. Yeah. Now we're in the second half. I just told the guys, I was like, you know what? Just have fun with this. You know, we're way at the bottom. Don't worry about it. You know, we'll be fine. We're up to second place now.
Wow.
So currently at this point in time. Now that could change by, you know, a couple of weeks. But
that's the neat thing, is if you bring it back to the present, even like a bad at bat or a bad inning, that there's still time and even at the end, and we've talked about this before, of a season where it might be tainted, you can still build that ending, can be a nice beginning for the future, heading into the off season to get momentum, or you know, developing younger talent to get them ready for the future.
What you experienced is a version of success because you're not worried about the results
Correct.
Anymore.
Yeah, and I will even say some of my best bowling games have always been when I'm outside of the league. So if I'm just playing on my own, just for fun.
Yeah, the pressure,
it's gone.
Fun, yeah. And we forget that sometimes, and I know how glad, you know, we'll talk about core values also in the future, but Medita, just the joy. And, you know, I had a youth parent in my office the other day, and I said, you know, just, if they're smiling out there, continue to do it. If they're not smiling, then they're too much. And we forget that sometimes. And when that's my joy is watching our student athletes smile when they're out there competing.
Very good.
And that can help with the minute-to-minute success. So good stuff, man. That went a lot farther than I want. So those that are still listening.
You didn't want it to go that far?
Well, we try and keep it on a, you know, the certain time frame. So we're
all right,
still
what do
there.
You got?
Good question. We had a couple of them before the podcast itself. But we're going to go with the one we kind of talked about is your go-to quick food at home when you're by yourself and you just need something quick to eat. And I can start to give you guys a second, but a couple of things for me. Cereal is one of them that's pretty easy. But my main go-to is a microwave grilled cheese. And that sounds so bad on this podcast. But going home, we have nice bread and nice cheese. So put a couple slices, throw it in the microwave, and I have a grilled cheese. So my only other one would be frozen burritos. So put a couple in there with cheese on it. So those are my, like if I'm home late and they're, you know, dinner's cold or not there or kids ate it all, those are something I make quickly to get me through. You guys have any of those?
Impressive.
I do the grilled cheese. Yeah, quick grilled cheese.
Do you make it though on a griddle instead of putting it in the microwave?
I do not dig that microwave vibe. So yeah, I will throw it. In fact, I've got a cast iron skillet that I use that really makes awesome grilled cheese. And then cold cuts, just a ham sandwich or a pepperoni and salami sandwich, something like that. Always good.
Yeah. Greg, you tend to do a lot of interesting things at home.
Is that good or bad, Cutter?
Depends on the outcome.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I mean, sort of. I think in the coaching world, your hours are always really weird. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I do get home at extremely weird times. And if I'm really hungry and there isn't a dinner that has been made hours before or something else. Sometimes I just won't eat, but I'll try to, like, typically I'll go to grab a granola bar or something like that instead of making something.
Okay.
I just find that that's even quicker than throwing something in the microwave. So that's kind of usually where I go.
Yep.
But it's also important when you're working a lot of hours that you try to eat healthy, as healthy as possible. And so sometimes I've found because of that situation, I need to be a little smarter about it. But if I wasn't being so disciplined, I'd probably turn to like chips and cheese.
Mm-hmm. That's another good one. Yep. Yeah. Nacho. Well,
that
chips
is one
and cheese.
That unfortunately I do rely on from time to time.
So, and again, the real grilled cheese is better. I was just trying to be quick and simple. And grilled cheese is a whole nother topic.
I'm not going to lie, Greg. That kind of just sounds disgusting, throwing a cheese.
It isn't the greatest. I didn't say it was great. I just said that's what I do quick and for a sandwich. So I will start griddling it, all right? But and the grilled cheese, there are so many variations now that we can talk about in the future. But until next time, go Stars. Stars on Sports is recorded live at the WLNZ Studios. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalion Lowry and Journey Robinson. You can listen to the episode and other episodes of Stars on Sports on demand at lccconnect.org. To find more information about our athletic program, visit lccstars.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us next time for more Stars on Sports.
Go Stars!